In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the stories that I like to tell about my family is about when we moved out of the Bronx. Now, Becky and I lived in New York City for 5 years, and our children were born there. And so when we moved away, Eli was still a baby, and Aviva was about 3 years old. We had been working as church planters in the Bronx, but our sponsoring church, the one who sent us paychecks, was in Birmingham, Alabama. And so after we left the Bronx, we went back to Birmingham to report back what had gone on and to say thank you to this church that had loved us and cared for us for the past 6 years. Now, the morning after we arrived in Birmingham, we were concerned to soften the blow for our children, right? Because their whole world had been turned upside down. We had just left our home and everything we knew. So we decided to do something familiar, a favorite family activity. We would go to the library. We knew from previous visits to Birmingham, and specifically to the suburb of Hoover, that the local public library was new, it was kid-friendly, it was super nice. So that's what we were going to do. Eli wasn't really old enough to understand what in the world was going on, but Aviva was excited. At least, she was excited for a few minutes. But then we went outside and we started to put the kids in the car, and Aviva started wailing. Now, I'll grant you, the past couple of days before then, we had spent a lot of time in the car, right? Driving from New York to Alabama. However, this was just a little 10-minute jaunt to the library, and Aviva was seriously upset. So after some consoling and some calming, we asked her what was wrong, and Aviva managed to choke out that she wanted to walk to the library. Because that's what we always did back home in the Bronx. Right? Most of our time in New York, we didn't even own a car. And now Aviva was being initiated into a new life where we were going to have to drive everywhere. There were a lot of things that we loved about the Bronx. We loved the food and the mix of cultures and our work. Even when relationships were challenging, we loved them. But there were countless little things that we loved without even realizing it, right? Things we didn't see, things we didn't notice, but things that we loved all the more because they were such a part of our lives. Walking out our door and a couple blocks over to get to a library was one of those things that we loved. And so while Becky and I appreciated the new luxury of an air-conditioned car to take us wherever we wanted to go, Aviva knew that that luxury came with a loss. In our gospel reading today, Philip makes a request of Jesus that sounds like something you might hear in church today. Lord Jesus, just show us the Father. That'll be enough. Jesus' response to Philip is a little disconcerting. Because on the one hand, Philip is asking for the right thing. The whole point of Jesus' life, Jesus' mission, is to make God known to mankind. Here at the end, in a conversation that our gospel writer places in the context of Jesus' last meal with his disciples, Philip is finally grasping the point of Jesus' ministry. Lord, show us the Father, and that will suffice for us. Now, on the other hand, Jesus is being a little sharp with Philip because Philip hasn't taken his understanding of Jesus' mission far enough. Jesus says to Philip, "How long have I been with you? And you still don't know me, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you ask me that? Show us the Father." Jesus is a little exasperated. Here it is, the night before he will die to fulfill his mission. And his disciples still don't get it. So Jesus goes on to explain, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What I say to you, I do not speak of my own accord. It is the Father living in me who is doing his works." To know Jesus is, in fact, to know God. To hear Jesus speaking is to hear God speaking. To see the works, the signs, the miracles, and even the everyday activities of Jesus is to see God at work. Now, what Jesus seems to be suggesting is that God has always been present with God's people, but we were a little slow to understand that reality. So God put on flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. And while Jesus walked among us, we could point to him and we could say, "Look, Emmanuel, God with us." But God's intention was and is to be closer than that. Right? Closer than just like a celebrity on television that we can point at and say, "Hey, isn't she great?" So Jesus hung around in bodily form long enough to get his message across, but then he left. And he left with a promise that God would remain present to us closer than ever. The word Jesus used to describe this closer presence of God, closer than a friendly neighbor, closer than a sister or a brother, was the Greek word paraclete. Now, the word paraclete can mean all kinds of things, right? It's often translated comforter or advocate or teacher or encourager or guide, right? If you pull out the New Testament and you look at the passage we read today and you read it in five different versions, you might get five different words, all translating this word paraclete. At the Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrate today, you see the church all dressed in red. At the Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Paraclete to dwell with God's people. Now, in baptism, that Paraclete came to dwell with each of us in a new and intimate way, to encourage and inform, to guide and to comfort, to teach and to advocate on our behalf before God. God has always been at work among God's people, among all people. But like someone who can walk to the library and yet wishes they had a car, we are often blind to God's presence and intimate involvement in our lives. God lived among us with the goal of helping us to understand God's love for us and to become ready to receive and respond to God's even more intimate presence as the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So what Aviva taught me in her tearful lament that she wanted to walk to the library is how many little things I take for granted. She reminded me to notice God's presence and God's goodness. Yes, in the big exciting things in life, right? We give thanks for a successful surgery, or for a new job, or for graduation. But even more, to notice God's presence, God's Holy Spirit at work in the little things, the everyday things. The fact that I woke up this morning, my ability to move and to take care of myself, the relationships that I enjoy with my family and friends. Right in Jerusalem, a couple thousand years ago, they might have given thanks that they had this miraculous power to speak in foreign tongues that other people could understand them. But you know, it's an act of the Holy Spirit when I am enabled to say an encouraging or kind word to someone and to have it understood. These are all manifestations of God's Holy Spirit at work. Now, the Holy Spirit is like the wind, the air that we breathe. Sometimes we don't even notice it. The Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrate today, is a day we take to stop and to remember that God is present to us in the words and actions of God's community and in the Paraclete that dwells in each of us to guide and encourage. Today we finish our cycle of major holy days around the life of Christ. And so in the coming season after Pentecost, right, that's what the rest of the church year is called, the season after Pentecost, all the way to Advent. During that season after Pentecost, we are called to be the body of Christ, right? Continuing God's mission of presence, love, and reconciliation. Now, being the body of Christ does not require heroic efforts or amazing feats of piety. It just means being open and attentive and aware of the Holy Spirit at work within us and around us. Noticing and acknowledging God's goodness in our lives and sharing that goodness with one another. Amen.
Amen.